Good morning. We welcome you to Barbers Grove Baptist Church this morning. We know that there's some of you out in the parking lot and that there are others that will be listening from their homes who live very nearby. And then perhaps many of you will be on the website later this afternoon. But we're so glad that you've joined us. And most of all, we're glad that the Holy Spirit is with us. The Lord promises us that when we gather in the name of Jesus, there He is in our midst. And whether I can see you or not, Jesus sees you. Whether I'm with you or not, Jesus is with you. And we're all together as one in the body of Christ. As we come to worship Him today, I pray that the Spirit of God would just minister to you and meet whatever needs that you have. You know your heart. You know your needs. And He knows them even better than you know them. And I believe that He has a special blessing for you as we worship Him together. Father, as we bow in the presence, your presence, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, place of comfort, a place of protection, a place of safety, place of love. And Father, as you pour out your love upon us this day, may we receive that love and rejoice in it. And Father, we welcome Holy Spirit to come and speak to our hearts through the music, through the prayers, through the Word of God. Father, we pray that we'll have ears to hear and a heart to understand, a willingness to act upon what you say to us. Lord, it's so good to be in your presence. And Father, I thank you for all of those who have joined us, either in the parking lot or in their homes or on the web. I thank you for every person that's made a choice to join us as we worship and serve and fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday, March the 21st, in our services at Barbers Grove. As usual, we're going to start off with a hymn sing, one that we can sing along with or without the music in front of you. You're very familiar with it. As a matter of fact, it's one of my favorites, and I do choose it a lot. But let's sing together, Holy, Holy, Holy. You can stand, please.
Early in the
Thank you for singing with us this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy. I have some announcements for you now, please. Our services will continue as they are with the parking lot service and also with the webcast for one more Sunday, and that'll be Palm Sunday next Sunday. We'll do that this one more Sunday, and then beginning Easter morning, sunrise services, we're going to open up and have you all here at our sunrise service. Now, we're hoping for the weather that'll be good, and we're looking for the sun to shine beautifully across that hill as God has provided so many, many times. But just in case it's not, then we will be coming inside for our services for sunrise inside the sanctuary. Now, if indeed we're not going to be able to go outside and the weather is bad, then we may change the time of the service. And if we decide to do that, then we will absolutely give you a one call on Saturday night beforehand. And we'll know more then about what the weather will be like. So things are planned. We will be a 7 o'clock start for our sunrise service, 7 o'clock a.m. So mark that on your calendars. And if, as I said, if the weather permits and God's will, we will be out around the close to the graveyard there where we normally see or have our web, where we normally have our service. Okay? All right. Now, and then beginning on the 11th, Sunday the 11th, we will begin our open services here. And also, we'll not only have the sanctuary service open, we will be having our children's church will also be active on the 11th. So make your plans for that. Children, come, be with us, and we will have your service here as well starting the 11th, which will be Sunday week. All right. Then we will have our quarterly conference in April, the April the 18th, and we have a lot of business to go over and discuss with you, so be looking forward to that. We'll do that. Annie Armstrong, Easter offering for home missions is now underway, and you have some special envelopes for that, and so we'll let the Lord lead you as you give to the Annie Armstrong offering. The parsonage should be closed, for sale should be closed this Friday. We have a closing schedule for this Friday, so we'll keep you posted on that, and certainly when we go into our quarterly conference, we'll give you all the details during that conference, okay? That's all the announcements I have this morning. I now will turn our attention now to the prayer requests that we have this morning. I want us to remember Debbie Duncan. You don't know her. She's a dear friend of the family of our Don and I in Kannapolis, and she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. So let's keep Debbie Duncan in our prayers. Well, remember the Dorothy Edwards family. She's a sister to Janice Williams. I talked to her yesterday, and so let's remember the Dorothy Edwards family. Brenda Burris. Brenda goes back to the doctor now this week, and she knows, and she's as we know, that there's a possibility of surgery there for her ankle and her foot. So let's remember Brenda and keep her in our prayers. God's will for her in her life. Amy White, I've been asked to remember the Amy White this morning. Amy has a lung infection, and we need to lift her up in prayers and ask for God's healing for Amy White. Let's continue to pray for our Barbers Grove Baptist Church as we continue now, as we move forward in the next couple of weeks. We'll move moving forward into our sanctuary services and get trying our best to get back to some type of normal worship, and we hope that people will be here and support it. But just in case, we will say this: as you think about it far ahead, we'll have services still available for those who do not come in to the sanctuary. But help pray that we will do, and God will lead us. All right, that's all I have this morning. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity you've given us to worship. Lord, we want to remember always to worship your name. You're an awesome God. You do a wonderful, wonderful things for us each and every day. You do so many things, Lord, it's almost that we never will be able to mention them all. But thank you, Lord, for your blessings. But now, Lord, we want to bring to you some people, Lord, who needs healing, needs your touch. Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, for Miss Debbie Duncan this morning as she is now dealing with breast cancer. We pray for Dorothy Edwards' family as the family has lost a dear friend and a dear sister. Janice Williams has lost her sister. Now, Lord, we pray for Brenda, Lord, as she goes back to the doctor, Lord, and we pray for the doctor and for the message she'll get, Lord, and if indeed she has to have surgery, we pray for your healing for her. Amy White, we pray for Amy White, Lord, and lift her up, Lord, as she has a lung infection. We ask, Lord, that you would touch her body if it be your will. Now we ask your guidance, Lord, and your wisdom as we go forward at Barbers Grove Baptist Church. Then, Lord, we pray for our nation as a whole, Lord. We don't want to forget those, our leaders, whether they be the local or the national. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for Pastor Ed as he comes forward to us today, Lord, and as he will be delivering the sermon, we pray for him and we lift him up to you. We ask, Lord, for you to be always, Lord, to give him the strength and the courage he needs. Then, Lord, we ask now, Lord, that you would go forward with us now in this service. And, Lord, in everything that's done, we will give you the honor and the glory. And these blessings I ask in your name. Amen. Now, we have a song of praise, and we're going to ask Kathy to sing this song for us today. And this is one of my favorite songs that Kathy does. And Kathy, if you're listening, and I know you are, I seem to pull this a lot, but this song a lot, because it's one of my favorites that you do. And I hope you all, I know you all, will enjoy it as much as I do. There is a Savior.
There is a Savior. What joy is express. His eyes are mercy. His word is rest for each tomorrow. For yesterday there is a
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. You're always a blessing when you sing, and we appreciate you sharing your God-given abilities with the church, with us. And folks, we do need to be reminded there is a Savior, and His name is Jesus. These last few weeks, it seems that Easter has been on my mind. Thoughts of the trial, beginning first with the arrest. What a travesty the trial was, and then the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection. What sorrow there was, what pain there was as Jesus died for our sins. What sorrow the disciples and other followers felt. And then what joy there was when there was the resurrection and they became aware that Jesus, after 3 days in the tomb, was alive, and they were so excited. And that means for us that we are forgiven of our sin, that we can be saved, that we can go to heaven, we can become a child of God, because Jesus is our Savior. The question this morning is, how many of us really understand how to make this a part of our life? To really access this salvation that's ours. I was reminded this week of a conversation I had about 50 years ago. Of course, I was a young man then, and I was talking with a young man who was about my age. And we got to talking about various things, and then at some point I told him I was a Christian. And he said to me, well, he wasn't anything at that point. But, he added, that when he got ready for a religion or a faith, he was going to study all of the world's great religions and decide which one he liked best, and then he was going to choose that religion just on the basis of which one he liked best. Very sadly, I could not convince him that he needed Jesus. Now listen closely to some of the things I'm going to say, and don't misquote me. That young man's attitude was fine if you want a religion. But that young man's attitude was dangerous if you want to spend an eternity with God in heaven. There are thousands of religions of all shapes and forms and different kinds. And you can choose from any one of those, whichever one you like. But if you want to go to heaven and spend an eternity with Almighty God, the creator of the heaven and earth, creator of the universe, it's an entirely different thing. All roads do not lead to God. All roads do not lead to heaven. I know that that's popular these days, but that is just not true. All roads do not lead to heaven. Secondly, you don't choose your route to heaven. Not even Christianity. Now don't tar and feather me just yet, because think about this. You choose a lot of things in life. You choose what food you want to eat. You choose your spouse. You choose what college you're going to attend, if any. You choose what town you're going to live in whenever you become an adult. You choose a profession and a lot of other things. But Christianity, real Bible Christianity, is an entirely different matter. Now, unfortunately, I think some folks chose to be a Christian in the sense that, well, mom and dad went to this Baptist church or this Methodist church, and I just chose to go along with them and be whatever they were. And unfortunately, some of those folks just chose and really didn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's sad. Now, let's look at Bible Christianity, the kind that gets you to heaven. Let's look at Bible Christianity, the kind that gets you to heaven. And we're going to do a Bible drill again this morning, but I don't want to say anything that's not in the Bible. And I want you to be able to base everything that I say on what God's Word says. You know, thus saith the Lord. And you may not be able to find all of these. I go ahead and on Sunday and mark them in my Bible so that I can get to them quickly, keep the pages from getting stuck together. But you can write them down and look at them. Bible Christianity first begins with God. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Bible Christianity begins with the love of God. It begins with a God who loves us and offers us salvation. Paul reminds us of that in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, when we were still helpless, when we were still in our sin, when we were still unlovable. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, boys, that's good news. That Christ died for us when we were sinners. Not because we were so good and so lovable and so kind. God saw a nasty, sinful, ugly, rebellious world and still sent his Son to die for us. In Romans 8, Paul goes on to say something of very similar to that. Verse 31, Romans 8, 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, all of these scriptures point to one fact. Bible Christianity begins with the love of God. God loves us. God created man. God wanted fellowship with man. Sin came into the world by man's choice at the instigation of the devil. Man was alienated from God, but God still loved us. And God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, made it possible for us to be saved. There is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. God chose out of his love, his grace, and his mercy to save us. Now, a wonderful verse in 2 Peter chapter 3 that ought to come for us all. Verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that's good news for you. That's good news for me. That God doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He doesn't want anybody to miss heaven. He wants us all to come to salvation. So salvation begins with God. And you know the next step of salvation still belongs to God. In John 6, verse 44, we find Jesus saying, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. John 6:44. Now think about that. Jesus says, not a single individual can just choose to be saved. Every individual that comes to a salvation experience is drawn by the Holy Spirit to the Lord. Now, think about it for a moment. You say, well, Ed, what about people that have never heard? What about people that have never heard? One thing I have to say is I don't know that you have to leave it in the hands of God. But here's what I believe. Since everybody is in the plan of God for salvation, I believe that at some point, some way, somehow, in a person's life, and many times, more than once, God is going to, in some way, point that person to Jesus. I'm going to give you some examples. For example, the Apostle Paul. I mean, he hated Christians. He was killing Christians. He was on his way to kill some more Christians. And suddenly, a bright light from heaven says, hey, Paul, what's going on? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. God spoke to him. Think of another example from the New Testament. Cornelius is a Gentile. His story's in Acts 10, I believe it is. And he, doing the best he can, and suddenly an angel appears to Cornelius and says, you go send for Simon Peter. He's at certain such a place, and he'll tell you what you need to do to be saved. I have an acquaintance who's a missionary in those far back mountain villages in South America, way back up in the Amazon. And many times they go to a village that's never heard the gospel. And suddenly, one of the leaders in the village will say, you know, I had a dream that a white man was going to come and tell us about the way to salvation. Because of that dream, they were willing and ready and eager to hear about Jesus. I've had more stories than I could count of people in Muslim countries having a dream about Jesus. And Jesus being the Savior and Jesus being the way to eternal life. I think about a man that gave a testimony that his dream was you go down to certain road, certain direction, and you'll meet a man there that will tell you about the way to salvation. I read about another one that just walking along saw a sheet of paper on the ground. Reached down, picked it up, and it was one page out of the Bible, but yet it was a page that led him to salvation. I don't know all the ways of God. Nobody knows all the ways of God. But the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit chooses to draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a choice. It's a drawing of the Spirit of God. And I truly believe that at some point in a person's life, they're going to get that invitation. At some point. Now, the Bible tells us that we know not how long the Spirit will strive with a man. So it's dangerous to feel the Holy Spirit drawing you to Jesus and say, no, no, no. The Bible also says that he that often hardened his heart shall suddenly be cut off and without remedy. One of the sad things that I've observed as a pastor who pastored three churches for long term is to see people, adults, under conviction the first year, two or three, that I was their pastor. And they would not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then when I'd been there 10, 11, and 12 years, they no longer exhibited those expressions of conviction that they had 10 years earlier. Sad, sad. And you wonder, did they ever get saved after I left the church? Maybe not. We need to be careful to know that we got to be drawn by the Spirit of God and to take opportunity. We don't just choose. Now, John 10 tells us what the Holy Spirit does, how he draws us. Now, John 6 says, no man can come to me except the Father's draw him. So, Jesus is talking there. And then in John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door to heaven. The Holy Spirit draws men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. He does it in such a way that he brings us, in a sense, to the door, and there Jesus stands with the door wide open with his arms out saying, I love you, I died for you, I want you to come in, and I want you to be a part of my family. Now, there you are, right at the door. The Holy Spirit has drawn you. Jesus is there, waiting to welcome you. And what comes next? What comes next? Now, I think you're going to find this interesting if you don't already know it. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist preached repentance. In Matthew 4, verse 17, we read, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Acts 2, after Peter had preached, in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to his rest of the brethren, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts 17, when Paul was in Rome, verse 30, Acts 17, 30, Paul talking to those elders and learned men in Athens, not Rome, Athens, excuse me. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Think about that. John, Jesus, Peter, and Paul all said that the door to heaven comes through repentance. Not a one of them said anything about joining church. Not a one of them said, now if you go through my membership class. Now we know that after they became believers, they learned. But the key to getting in is repentance. Genuine repentance is more than remorse. Genuine repentance is more than remorse. Now, there are a lot of folks that feel sorry that they got caught. A lot of folks feel sorry at times. And back in the old days when people got more emotional at revivals. The altars would be full and people weeping boxes of Kleenex, tears. And then you didn't see them again till the next revival, and they weep those same tears. And didn't see them till the next revival, and they'd weep those same tears, and their lives never changed. Genuine repentance is more than remorse. Genuine repentance is a U-turn. 180 degrees. Totally going in a different direction. Genuine repentance acknowledges, I am a sinner, I am lost, I am on my way to hell. I cannot save myself. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run to Jesus, who is the Savior, who can save me, who will save me. It's a decision that we make to choose Jesus, His forgiveness, His life. And all, we make Him Lord of our life. You know, in Romans 2, there's a very interesting little verse that says this. As soon as I find it, we'll get to it. Sometimes when I don't mark the pages, they stick together. Romans 2, 4. Oh, despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Think about that. Paul writes to the Romans that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You may be thinking, well, now, preacher, wait a minute. I was in a service somewhere and that preacher preached hell hot and long, scared the living daylights out of me, and I got saved. Well, now, wait a minute. Wasn't it the goodness of God that allowed that preacher to preach that message? And the Holy Spirit to use that message to lead you to salvation. It's God's goodness. God's goodness that leads us to salvation. And genuine repentance comes out of that. Genuine repentance comes when God's goodness leads us to the place where we recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and we choose Him. Now you think about the various situations that I mentioned a moment ago. John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter, Paul. The people that they preached repentance to came out of different situations. Evidently, when John was preaching, a lot of, I'll just use the word evil people. We're listening, and John was saying, you've got to change from the following your evil ways if you're going to choose the way of eternal life. With Jesus and with Peter, they were basically preaching to Jews. Now, John was preaching to Jews, but evidently it was the more ungodly crowd that went to John. Though some of the Jewish leaders did. But for Peter and Jesus, they were saying, listen, you need to choose a way of salvation that goes through Jesus, not through Jewish laws and rituals. In other words, you can't choose a religion. You have to choose Jesus. Now, when Paul was preaching in Athens, he was preaching to a bunch of idol worshipers. Their town was full of idols. They had so many that they were afraid they were going to miss one that they put up statue to the unknown God. And Paul was saying, you've got to repent from following after these idols and choose Jesus. Now, friend, I don't know where you came from as far as your past beliefs, but genuine repentance begins when you turn away from self, from trying to save yourself, from trying to be good enough to save yourself, from trying to make it to heaven on your own. Maybe have to, if you're a child, you don't have a lot of evil stuff to turn away from. If you're an adult and you've been involved in a lot of ungodly and immoral things, you have to turn from that. But it's a total U-turn, and we set our sights on Jesus. You've heard the expression, don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to put all your eggs in the basket called Jesus. You can't put one foot in and say, well, I want to be a Christian, but I want to be a this, that, or the other. All your eggs are going to be in the basket called Jesus. And it's going to evidence in a changed life. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus there in chapter 3 of John? Nicodemus, you're a good man. You're a ruler of the Jews, but you've got to be born again. You can't just get to heaven by being a good Jew. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born from above. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read that Paul says to the Corinthians, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He says, you're totally different. When Peter writes his second letter, he says this in the first chapter, verse 4, and we looked at this a few weeks ago. Wherefore, by are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Paul says you're a new creature. Peter says you partake of the divine nature. In other words, God comes to live within you, and it's a changed life. The very nature of God himself comes to live within us when we repent and choose Jesus. And folks, if a person gives no evidence or very little evidence that they've changed, you have to doubt whether they really know Jesus. You have to doubt, did they really get genuinely born again? Now, we don't become instantly perfect. None of us do. We still grow, and hopefully we're growing and becoming more like Jesus from the time we accept him as Lord and Savior to the moment that we come to the end of life and step over into glory. But there's going to be noticeable changes. We're going to know it within ourselves. Others that know us are going to know it within as they observe our lives, that we are new creatures. We are a new creation. We have the nature of God within us. Becoming more Christ-like all the time. Now, remember what I said in the beginning. You don't just choose to be a Christian. You choose to respond to the leadership of the Spirit as you repent when the Spirit leads you to Jesus. And I pray that every person that's listening to me this morning, or whatever time you're listening, has made that choice. That at some point in your life you felt the tugging of the Spirit of God. You felt him saying to you, you need to be a believer in Jesus. You need to change your life or allow him to change your life and follow him. You think about those early disciples. Peter, James, John, Andrew, out beside of their boats. And Jesus said, come, follow me. Now that's a change. Matthew sitting beside of the, behind his tax collecting booth. And Jesus says, come, follow me. That's a change. Now God may not ask you to change professions, but if you're going to follow Jesus, it's all or nothing. Repentance is an 180 degree turn. And I pray that each one of you that's listening has made that choice. If you've not made that choice and you think, well, at some point I'll just choose Jesus or I'll choose Muhammad or I'll choose Confucius or somebody else, that's a dangerous way to live. For one day, every man will stand before the judgment of God. And the only thing that will get us through the gate into heaven will be, I had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my King of Kings. He's my Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of glory. He's my Lord and my Savior. Folks, that's the only thing that will get you into heaven. Now, God wants you there. He loves you. That's why He sent His Son. That's why He's given you opportunity after opportunity as the Spirit has drawn you. And I pray that you made that choice. And if you haven't, I pray that you'll make that choice today. Just acknowledge it. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell, but Jesus died for me. He was resurrected, and I choose Jesus. And I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life and save me. Give me eternal life. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. And when you do that, you'll be born again, and He'll begin to make those changes in you as a new creation. And the very nature of God will come to live within you. If you make that choice, and be sure and tell somebody. Call us and tell us. Tell some other pastor. But let somebody know of that wonderful choice that you've made to receive Jesus. Father, as we bow in your presence today, I thank you that you loved us. I thank you that out of your grace and your mercy, you made a way for us to have eternal life. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that draws us to Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you've given us the key of repentance to walk through the door. And Father, I thank you that you've promised that those who come to you, you will in no wise cast them out. Father, I thank you that those who are saved are in your hands and safe and secure forever. And Father, I thank you for every person that's listening to me that's saved and on their way to heaven. And Father, I thank you that just now, at this very moment, you're speaking to anyone who is not saved, is not a Christian, not a believer, and that lovingly you're drawing them to you. And Father, I pray that they'll say yes. I pray that they'll give their heart to the Lord today while there's still opportunity, while grace is still available. And Father, I know that when they do that, you'll save them. Lord, just thank you for loving us. Thank you for making a way that we as lost, sinful, rebellious people could become your children, part of your family, and spend an eternity with you in joy and blessing, glory, peace. Thank you, Father. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.